See, this is why a co-ed friendship is so important, because we can literally tell each other where we fuck up.
Yeah.
And give each other a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, see, so, okay, when you say, I gotta tell him a friend. Yeah. I see that, and I know. But,
sorry, that's my vodka. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But I don't want to... I want to see their real them, like, because to me...
If you tell someone what you want, then they'll portray that until...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, I want to know, like, I'm not doing anything. I'm being me. And so if I'm me, what are they going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say anything, they'll easily could just be that. And so that's why I haven't, but then also leads me to be in the position that I'm always in. So that's where I'm like,
I tell guys this. I'm like, look, no expectations, whether you buy me dinner or what have you, or we go out for a drink, no expectations. Because I may like you via text message, but that's you putting on a front to be charming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But later on, if we meet for dinner, if we meet for drinks, if the way that you treat the waiter or the waitress, or you say something that rubs me wrong, like, I cannot promise you sex if towards the end of the night, you're a piece of trash,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Which I didn't even think about. So I took this one chick. This was in last year sometime. Uh-huh. I forgot when. I took her to Olive Garden.
Unlimited breast sticks. Right. Bread sticks, not breast sticks.
I took her and I was, again, thinking like, okay, you know, it's going to be a fun night. We're going to go dancing afterwards. It's right next to Red River. Just, that's it. I was literally like, okay, maybe a kiss. Even that, I was like, I don't know if I will or not. Because
Was she trash?
No.
Oh.
And that's the frustrating part. So, okay. Take her and she's very eloquent. She's very well cultured. She's just really great.
The qualities you look for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really great. And, we have dinner. We're talking, conversating the whole time. It's really good. We go, we're dancing. I suck, but it didn't really matter. And so I'm like, oh, cool. You know, this is great. I can't wait to have this go further. And that, like, I was literally thinking, like, okay, that's it. And again, maybe a kiss. Maybe. I don't know yet.
Right.
Because I want the first kiss to be something good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going. And, like, I took her to, since I was driving around a lot back then for Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
I have found this spot that's like really good view of the city. It's kind of like in a...
Dabs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Parking garage thing. At the very top, you'd see everything.
At the West End?
Close to it.
Okay.
And...
I think I know which spot you're talking about. Go ahead. Sorry.
And so I'm there and I'm like, oh, like this is a great little spot. And then I look over... And she's, like, taking off her shirt. And I was like, oh.
That was on the first date?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you had to reject it. Yeah. You didn't reject it? All right. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Oh, congratulations. All right. Anthony Martin had a one-night stand. Get it.
Well, so that was, yeah. So, yeah.
Proud
but
of you.
That's what I was talking about, though, is like I was really thinking, like, okay, we're going to... Like, I was laying out, like, okay, cool, now we're going to do this. Maybe I'll take her to do this next week or something. Or,
okay.
I don't know. You know, like, I was really, like, and then that. And I was like, well, and it was good. And then
she ghosted you? You ghosted her?
No, she did. But
oh fuck. Dang, she used you.
Yeah.
Like a rag doll, bro.
Yeah.
Dang, threw you away like
yeah.
A used condom.
Wow.
Fuck.
Yep. So that's what I was like, man. Like yeah. And so from then on, I was like, all right. Even if they're like literally getting on top of me, I cannot. So I won't.
Is it because you don't want to be ghosted or because no, you don't? No,
it's because it was fine. It was okay, I guess. Like, I didn't really care about being ghosted. I was like, okay, whatever. But more of the point was, like, again, the sex part, like, it was good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, oh, man, like, I can't wait to have sex with her again.
Right.
Which, if that's not the case, then...
Why are you gonna proceed? Yeah, I get it. I'm the same way. If a guy doesn't go down, I'm like, why should I go down on you?
Yeah.
Like, give me a reason. Like, why? Yeah. I even had a guy go, because I can't get hard if you don't do it. And I'm like, well looks like you're just gonna have to find a fucking Viagra because it's not gonna happen. Sorry, I'm a tit-for-tat person. Lately... And it sucks. Like, I have never been a tit-for-tat person.
Mm.
But, like, before I became celibate, like, I really was. Like, I was like, look, if you're not going to do that for me, then there's no reason for me to do that for you.
Mm-hmm. I am not that way, it seems. I'm very much, like...
A giver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. Not a lot of men are. A lot of men suck. Dick.
Huh.
Figuratively and literally.
You know, that's another thing, too. I saw this thing that said, possibly every hand you've ever touched has had a dick in it. And I was like...
No, every hand you've ever touched has had a dick in it.
Most.
Even like a fake dick.
Yeah.
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 Every hand. Think about that now. Every hand you've ever touched has had either a real dick in it or a fake dick in it.
Yep.
Congratulations. I just ruined you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. I'm here to disrupt.
Yes. And so I was like...
I love you.
Because I was very naive when it came to how sexual people are in the entire world. Because I just assumed, like me... Even. I assumed, like me, like, you could either... go crazy, or you can, like, just be okay not doing anything for a while.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I'm a heathen.
And I realize most of the world is, actually.
You know, I'm disgusting.
And, yeah.
Like, even when I watch porn, I'm like, I'm going to hell for this one, for sure. But at the moment, I'm not. But, like, when I'm done and I'm like, why the hell would I fucking watch that? That's disgusting. And then I'm like, this is the whole reason I'm going to hell right here. And then I toss my phone to the side and...
You go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Yep.
And then I don't worry about it until the next time I nut.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm such a dude. Like, honestly. Like, my...
What's the thing called? The chemical that comes out?
Testosterone?
No. Is it? That puts you to sleep?
Serotonin?
Yeah.
Dopamine?
I forget. It's when you have an orgasm. There's this specific...
Serotonin.
Is it serotonin?
Yeah. Wait.
I saw it on...
Hold on, let me Google it.
That's another thing. I used to read Cosmopolitan.
Which hormone comes out when you have sex?
Here's a summary from Atlas Biomed. Secretion of the hormone oxytocin leads to rhythmic
oxytocin. That's what it is. That makes you go to sleep. I used to read Cosmopolitan things all the time.
Me too.
Yeah, well, I'm a guy, so. But yeah, I would read it all the time to learn all sorts of stuff. Just because
No, I did too. Like a lot of like my sexual references were to Cosmopolitan. If they weren't to Sex and the City, it was to Cosmopolitan, you know, because that was just like what I grew up watching, what I grew up reading, like, you know, and it was, they were always in bathrooms and stuff. So I would like read it. 20 new ways to keep your man interested. And that's actually like the fucked up part. Like we revolve ourselves so much around men, you know what I mean? And like how to be like the perfect seductress and temptress and sex icon for your man. And it's like, you know, a woman could work out every day for 2 hours a day and she could come home and catch her dude jerking off to BBW porn category. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's just about being yourself and being confident in who you are. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't even fucking matter anymore. It just doesn't. Like,
yeah. And see, the crazy thing is, like, for the articles that it was geared towards was definitely like women, oh, trying to keep your man, whatever,
happy and satisfied.
Yeah. And then I was looking at those like, huh, like viewing it the other way, like, okay, I want to make sure they don't feel this way. So I'm going to look at why they feel the need to do these things.
You're probably the only man that's ever looked at it that way, which I applaud. That's the third applaud you've gotten for me tonight.
Cool.
This morning. It's 3 a.m.
Yep.
On Friday the 13th.
It sure is.
Spooky.
Ooh.
Ooh.
3 a.m. challenge.
None of those are going to happen at all.
There's a stupid category on YouTube.
I don't know. I just, it's like, I went so long trying to be this and that for my ex-husband, and I'm sorry to bring him up again, but I did so much for him sexually, you know? Yeah. But then when it was time for me that I wanted to try something, it was like, no, what? No, we're not doing that. No, you know? And mm-hmm. and believe it or not, and this is just a joke that I tell people, but I'm always like, I thought that my life was over when I got divorced. I thought I would never fall in love again. I thought I would never, you know, have an inkling or even crave another man, you know? And then I found someone that let me finger his butthole and, you know, life's just all about growth.
I was with you up until that last part. Cause yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, that I felt that way too. Yeah. You know, when
and then you found a girl that let you finger her butthole.
Yeah, you know.
Congratulations. See? And then you found a woman that let you stick your thumb in her butthole.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Life is all about growth.
Life is all about growth.
Life is all about growth and buttholes.
Yes.
I mean, like, seriously, like, what is the deal with buttholes these days? Like, everyone's obsessed with them.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, like, now you can't even be like, oh, this soup tastes like ass, because someone would be like, ooh, let me try it.
Yeah. Huh? Gotta eat the booty like groceries.
That, goddamn, that's an old ass song. Okay. But yeah, pretty much. Like, and I mean, like, I don't mind it, whatever. But still, it's just like everyone's so obsessed with the tickalingus. Analingus.
Analingus.
Nice. Yeah.
I found like there's cycles. And it has to do with the music too, which is crazy. Which I will tell you, right after I broke up with Priscilla, I was so angry at music.
Because did everything reminded you of her?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Because of the shit that was going, like, that was on. Demi had just put Sorry Not Sorry on, so I was like, ah, oh, fuck, she's listening to that shit, being like, yeah fuck you. And all these songs, like, I could, like, because if you look at, like, especially now with TikTok, the songs that come out and then the wave of stuff that it causes the people to feel or act because of what they're saying in the song.
There's some whores in this house.
There's some whores in this
house. Yeah.
Yeah. And so just it causes like this wave of people being more sexual or people being this or doing that. And so just right now, currently, that's just where we're at.
Yeah, for a minute there, it was all about guys ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I remember that.
Which used to piss me off, actually, because as you know, I'm a men's mental health advocate, you know, and like I promote not happy men, but, you know, better awareness for men's mental health. And so that used to piss me off. Whenever I hear a song about how a guy ain't shit, I'm like, sis, maybe you weren't shit, you know?
It always just reminds me of that one meme where it's like the chick is riding the bicycle. She reaches out, sticks a stick in the front of the tire, falls over. It's like, men ain't shit.
Oh, yeah, when she's like grabbing her knee and she's like, oh, men ain't shit. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
So I just kind of feel like there's these cycles of like when they put out music, it just kind of causes everybody to do stuff.
Sorry, that just reminded me of a meme that says, following your ex on social media, be so petty because you could post, man, I love pancakes. And then they'll post, man with small dicks love pancakes. You know, it's like, sorry. Yeah.
That's like true, savage. Though. That's fucking true, because I do remember I was following Priscilla on Instagram for a little bit. And I forgot something. I did something, and then the next day or something like that, she had posted something, like, specifically saying something indirectly towards me, and I was like,
oh, I hate indirect comments, bro. Like, they're fucked up.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, because it's like, bitch, I know you're talking about me.
Yeah.
Just fucking say it to my face. You know, come here and fucking say it to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that just goes to, again, one of the things that I am needing from a person now is to not run away from your problems or anything like that. And that way I know that we can actually talk about things like adults instead of just disappearing.
That's definitely a quality that I look for in someone, is that when it comes to confrontation, being able to sit there and reciprocate in conversation, definitely don't leave. No matter how heated it gets, do not leave. Don't go to bed at me angry, you know, don't go to bed angry at me. And realize that even if it's like the kids are around or what have you, but you're like, hey, you know what? Let's continue this later. Like, we're obviously in a heated discussion. The kids don't need to hear this. We can talk about this later, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when both of you have calmed down, come back at it and attack it together. Because the second that you guys are on opposite sides of the chessboard, you guys are no longer a team.
Ooh, you brought up chessboard.
I know, I saw your chessboard and I was like, oh, I'm going to use that analogy.
Well, so, I don't know, have you seen Queen's Gambit?
Oh my gosh, she's so fucking good.
And she's so beautiful. Yeah, I love her. If I could find her in real life, but a shorter version, because she's too tall for me. But she's amazing.
Sorry, I don't mean to blow my smoke in your face.
Oh, it's okay.
At least it smells good, right?
Yeah, okay. And I have my magic fan over there. It does like the filter or whatever.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
the Queen's Gambit is actually like really fucking good. I think really I finished good. That series in like 2 days.
Yeah,
tops.
I think we did
so too. Good. It's
really good. But that goes again to me and what I like in intelligence, because she's so, I actually realized that I think the person I will marry will probably be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, same. I want someone who's like literally the best in their field at something.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really the only way that, not the only way, but where we would have like mutual respect for each other and our
careers. Yeah.
Because that's how I view myself and mine. And so if they weren't on equal footing, I feel like they wouldn't understand the drive and the passion ambition. Behind what I'm doing, yeah, ambition, things like that,
and the motivation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so that would be something, and that's what that reminded me of. Queen's Gambit was, she's the best in the entire world, and she was like bored with the other guys because she's like, eh, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was like, unless it was someone who could teach her something, she didn't really care. And so,
and that's, once again, the sapiosexual. If you can't make me provoke my thoughts, if you can't make me into a better person, if you can't, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. why do I want you in my life? Yeah. If you are not, if you and I are not at the same level, or if you're at a level above me and you see that I'm trying to reach yours, and you're not giving me a helping hand, or you're not, you know, teaching me something along the way. Like, what is, we're supposed to be a couple, and we're supposed to be a power couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, build your own empire.
Yeah. Oh, man. I had for sure thought that that's what I was going to be. Like, I was going to rule the world, and, like, literally my wife was going to be right there, kind of like House of Cards before Kevin Spacey raped that kid or something.
Jesus Christ. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. Rip. But it was a good show.
Rip.
Before all that happened and they took him out of it. But she was like, he was all like doing stuff and his dastardly plans, but then she would be just as evil and conniving to get them to where they needed to be, which is crazy. The same thing for like Breaking Bad, I think.
It's like Cleopatra and Mark Anthony.
Yep. So, yeah. I need to find someone who will like help me bury a body. Or I guess in the sense of Breaking Bad.
You want
your
partner in crime.
Yeah, decompose them in hydrochloric acid, I think.
Hydrochloric acid?
I think that's what it was.
Just don't do it in the bathtub because you know that shit will eat through.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just making sure. Fuck. Breaking Bad was so good.
It was. It was really good. Did you see the...
El Camino?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm on my second drink and you're on your first still. You're nursing that baby.
I just kind of left it there. Here.
Big gulps. Big gulps for big boys. There we go. Beautiful. All right.
Okay, so we talked about... Oh, we haven't hit on the stuff we miss.
What did we miss?
No, I meant like we miss from relationships.
Oh.
So I made an episode about this a while back.
Uh-huh.
And then this was, I posted them a year after I actually recorded them. So I posted them in...
Is this going to be out a year after you record it?
No, this one, no.
Okay.
It probably took me like a day to actually listen.
Send me the link.
Do all that, but before I was for sure about doing a podcast, I was just recording, and so I just held on to all these recordings for a long time before I actually set up everything. But one of them was just talking about how one of my favorite things that I had liked to do with Priscilla was something I never did, and she just kind of thrust it upon me once, and I was like, huh, that's pretty cool, was bedtime stories. Like, she, like, we'd be talking on the phone, and then she would get sleepy, and she'd be like, tell me a bedtime story. And I didn't really know any, but mm-hmm. then I realized that really wasn't the point. So then I started just relaying the stories from, like, the games that
You'd
I had
be
played.
You'd be so good at ASMR, I'm telling you.
I know.
And then?
So I would tell her the storylines of, like, some of the video games I played.
Mm-hmm.
Which, they're all really good. I feel like the stories in some of these games are better than almost all the movies I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
But because they're games, people don't view them as like an actual.
No, like God of medium. War is like my favorite.
Yeah. It's amazing. Actually, I got an A in English class because we were supposed to write an epic. And I just totally took all of God of War's story and that's put it beautiful. In there. And she had no clue, and I got an A, and it was awesome. But yeah, so I would just relay those stories to her, and she'd like be out like in 5 minutes or something. But it was something that I don't know where I got it from. I have no idea. But I got it in my head that I had to be the one to put my significant other to sleep or like be there. I couldn't fall asleep before them.
That's kind of cute.
I don't know where it came from though.
Her.
Well, no, it was before her.
Oh.
Like it was just, I had always thought that for some reason. I don't know why. Like even in high school, I would stay up late talking on the phone. It's funny because I would have to hide in the closet on the house phone, and my dad wow. would still be like, what are you doing up? I'll be all shit.
Nothing.
Hey, I gotta go. Okay. Now, actually, now that I think, well, no, my voice wasn't like this yet, I don't think. So, but I would feel like I had to stay up until they went to sleep. I couldn't let them. I don't know what it was. I had to be there. And if I fell asleep, I felt bad. Because I was like, oh, I wasn't there for them. So when she started asking for the bedtime stories, I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because that's exactly what I wanted this whole time, was like to be the reason why they go to sleep. And then like, okay, now I could go to sleep and then be there. Well, at the time I was living in Oklahoma, she was here. So it was mm-hmm. a long distance thing. But now I guess the grown up version would be like actually physically having them be asleep, and then I can sleep and then I can do whatever, I guess. But yeah, I don't know why that's a thing for me, but it's just what I've always felt. Not that it's my responsibility, but it kind of is, you know?
I think what I miss a lot about a relationship is having someone to like rub my back, and not even like a massage, but just like rubbing my back, you know? Mm-hmm. Before going to sleep, when they see me, etc. Just that like physical intimate touch that both of you are aware it means I love you. Like it is such a small little mm-hmm. thing. Also, something I do miss is and it's so funny, my grandparents were together over 50 years and they were always touching, always, you know, mm-hmm. holding hands or, you know, always touching or hugging or something, you know? And because at the end of your life, your marriage, it's more about companionship than anything else. You know, you have built this best friend and it is your best friend. And that's your partner. Mm-hmm. And it's your companion. And for me, it has definitely been knowing someone is there for me, you know, even if it's just a small touch on my hand or on my shoulder or on my knee, you know. But just a reminder of, hey, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's so crazy how intimate the small things are that you end up missing. Mm-hmm.
One of the things for me that I miss, well, again, it's been so long, I don't even know if I miss it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of feels like it doesn't exist, but I do remember there was a point in time, like last year, where like I would kill me. I would not feel, I guess I would feel lonely, like just so like, oh, like I wish I had my person, but I don't.
Was it during the holidays?
No, it would just come and go randomly. Well, I wouldn't say randomly, but just.
Yeah, you just had that feeling.
Yeah. It wasn't really tied to any time of the year. It was just.
It's so weird how it's like an achy, empty feeling, yeah, you know?
That's exactly what it was.
And you. And it's this void, and I swear, and you and I watched a comedian together.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Daniel Slosh.
And he talks about how, you know, you grow. His dad explains to him that, you know, life is like a jigsaw puzzle. And for him, for his dad, the thing that completed him was his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so he grew up thinking that you needed someone else to be complete. You know, and so I'm still voiding, like trying to detach myself from that line of thinking that you need someone to be happy. But it is this weird feeling, you know, when you grow up your whole life thinking Prince Charming and Princess and, you know, you need someone else to be complete, that it's not until you're without that you feel empty, or you feel like you have to fill this, or you have this void and you feel like you have to fill it. And a lot of the times it's someone else, sex or different vices. And you end up picking up maybe a bad habit. Maybe you end up picking up a good habit or a hobby, you know? But you're just endlessly trying to fill this void, and then you don't realize it. But while you're trying to fill this void, if you're doing the good things and you're doing the right things, you're filling the void by figuring yourself out, because you end up figuring out, oh, I love to do this and I love to do that, you know?
Okay.
But if you're filling it with like the bad things, fucking cocaine and liquor, whatever, what have you, you know, you keep on having that void.
Yeah.
And you keep on looking for that person to fill it for you when you're the person that's supposed to fill it for yourself.
Yep. And that's where I think I'm at now. Looking back, I want to say this time last year, I was feeling that achiness and from the void. But now, because like you just said, I was filling it with other stuff. Now it's like, oh, like, and that's where, like I said, this, the whole reason I wanted to do this recording in the first place was because we were sitting at that table right there, and my roommate was talking about, man, like, it sucks because I missed this and I missed that. And I was like, holy crap, like, I haven't even thought about that in, mm-hmm, like 3 months. And even then, I wasn't aching or anything. I was just like, huh. And it's been so long since I've even felt that. I was like, that's crazy. And he's like, fuck you for being a better person. And I was like, yeah, it's crazy how much I've grown in that time.
You have to grow, you know? Like, I went through this stage after my marriage where it was a, fuck you, I don't care, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so bitter. You know, I was angry, but I wasn't mad at him. I was just angry at myself because I let my life become this. You know, it's like that 1985 song by Bowling for Soup, you know, when he says she was going to be a rock star. She was going to, you know, do this and that. And then now she has two kids in the minivan and her husband fucking ignores her. You know what I mean? And she's like, what happened to all of my aspirations? And that's who I was. But instead of like focusing on that, I just ended up like putting all of my energy back into school, becoming a better mom, working harder, you know, working out. And I ended up really filling that void with myself and my hobbies and stuff. I started painting all over again and I started doing photography again, you know, and I just do that for fun. I don't do it because I want money out of it, but it's, you get to the point where you're like, I do a lot of these awesome things. And actually, I always make fun that I'm going to get a tattoo that says low key. Because I'm like, I tell people, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like a low key badass, you know, because I do all of these things. I have a podcast and, you know, I'm a men's mental health advocate. I drive a stick shift. How many women do you know drive a stick shift? Nice. Exactly. You know, like I want a motorcycle. I still have, you know, I was going to concerts in 2019. I went to 22 concerts.
Wow.
Exactly. You know, like I was living my life. Yeah. I was having the best year ever.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking COVID fucked it up. But still, like, you know, I was doing all of these things and people are like, oh, it sounds like you had an interesting life. And to me, I didn't. To me, I was just doing the things that I liked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's
literally the same thing. I went to Florida, San Antonio, Houston, Austin, whatever I wanted to do. I started doing it, you know, because there was no one holding me back anymore saying, We can't afford it. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. No, no, no. And I started telling myself yes.
Yeah. That's the same kind of feeling now when I tell people they're just like, because right when I broke up with Priscilla, I went to my best friend, Jacob, because he's a really suave guy. And I was like, I need to work on my wardrobe. I need to learn how to dance. I need to know how to be at parties.
Make yourself better.
Yeah. He's like, all right. So I went through the phase of like going out to frat parties and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like trying to be interesting, trying to be able to talk about stuff and do things. But I couldn't because I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then at some point I just started just doing whatever the fuck I wanted to do. And then now when I tell people, they're like, that's crazy. Like you did this and you did that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess it does sound pretty cool when I like say it all together.
Yeah. You know, and like, and you don't even realize that you did all of these amazing things until they come out of your mouth and people are like, oh my God, that's so cool. Yeah. And you're just like, is it? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I flashed Marilyn Monroe. I mean, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
I flashed Marilyn Manson. How many women you know flashed Marilyn Manson?
I don't think.
Just the one, right? Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
See? Yeah. See? And you just said, wow.
Yeah.
You know? But that was something that I fucking just did out of the fucking blue. Literally, that concert, that ticket was purchased 2 hours before the concert started. And nice. I got second row seats and I flashed Marilyn Manson.
Cool. Yeah, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. Fucking
exactly. Live. Like, you just fucking end up living your best fucking life and you don't even know that you're doing it until you tell someone else, like, oh, hey, ha. Because one time I flashed Marilyn Manson and they're like, what? You know, because it's something that to them they would never do, or to them it's amazing. And you were over here just like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like to you it's nothing. That's why, like, a lot of the times, I'm not going to lie to you, when someone pretentious comes along and they're like, yeah, I've been to like Africa and I helped all the orphans and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's cool. What did you learn from it?
Yeah.
And they're empty.
Yeah. And see, I think because my roommate is very emotionally in tune and knows a lot about he's basically my therapist when it comes to a lot of stuff.
So. But remember this, Rome was not built in a day. You venting is not actually therapy.
Yes,
and a therapist has
an actual
plan for you. Yes. All right?
I know.
I just, for you and your listeners and my listeners that are going to be listening to this, that's what therapy is. That's what therapy is. It is an action plan to make sure that you get better. You relying on your significant other as your therapist or your bartender as your therapist is going to get you nowhere.
Mm, that's true.
You having an actual therapist and if Rome was not built in a day, you cannot go to therapy for 1 to 6 sessions and be like, I'm done. Bye. Later. I'm good. Fixed. I'm healed. No, that's not what it is. It's an actual action plan to make you a better you for
And So I had the prevailing thought for a long time. I was like, you know, I just feel like I'm just too smart for therapy. It feels like...
No.
Well, see, so I was like, oh, it feels like anything that they would say, I would be like, yeah, but... And like, I would rationalize it in my head. Until I was like 2 years ago, I picked up a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of my passengers.
Congratulations. I'm very... Oh, you just picked her up? You didn't like
actually go to her? No, she was my passenger. Okay. And
she was your writer?
She was... I was talking to her about it, and she's like, yeah, you know, I have a therapist, and I'm a therapist. And she's like... And I told her my thought, and she's like, well, I have no doubt that you are a very smart individual.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, but if you think about it this way, a surgeon, no matter if he's the best in the world, cannot perform surgery on himself.
That's exactly right.
And I was like, yeah, yeah. And when you put it that way, that makes...
Doctor Strange type shit.
Yep. So I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So
I was like, okay, cool. Well, when I'm not poor and have insurance, I'll be sure to do that.
In conclusion,
I was saying something about something, but I don't remember anymore.
Sorry.
That's okay.
The vodka took over.
But that's the way the news goes.
What's the way the cookie crumbles?
Well, AIDS. Ricky.
Magic Johnson.
Ricky Tiki. Fuck. I forgot what he said.
That's okay.
Grass tastes bad.
What?
Yeah.
I'm so...
It's from Rick and Morty. They're like... He has all these random catchphrases, and he just starts saying random shit. And he just says all this
stuff. I really have to start watching this show. It's you are the third person today to talk to me about it.
It's hilarious.
Well, the first person on Friday the 13th, but the third person in the span of 24 hours.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a really great show. And you have to have a certain IQ to watch it. Because it's just so up there. You
know? Yeah, yeah, the jokes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep. That's, yeah. I really don't know what the hell I was saying.
I'm so sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm telling you, like, I do that all the time to myself, really. I'll be on a whole point and I'm, like, trudging to it by using this long-winded story. We need
more Adderall.
I have none.
I have some. Well, not with me, but yeah.
Yeah, no. But when I take it, I get all, like, conspiracy theory mode.
Beautiful. I love
then,
it.
Then, like...
I want to meet Adderall Anthony. AA.
Because when I take it, like, I see... It's like I see the code... In the Matrix. Like
fucking, that shit's beautiful.
Everything.
Wonderful. I love that shit. Everyone should be on Adderall.
Yeah.
And Ritalin. Either or. Yeah,
I forgot Ritalin. I forgot about that.
Vyvanse. Fuck it.
Vyvanse whatever. Was crazy.
Ruby Mae approves this message.
Yay.
It was her message, but she approves it.
That's right. I thought the political campaigns were over.
No, Ruby Mae approves this message.
Man, I'm still... I don't know.
Pause it and rewind it and figure it out?
Nah, that's okay. But...
Oh, we were talking about the void.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
So then...
I remembered for you.
Yeah, cool.
I'm on Adderall.
Yes. Yes. So, met that therapist. She said that. Bam, okay. But... When I would tell him stuff about all these things, I had remembered stuff again, like that I had this time last year had felt the void and was missing, like I said, of the aching feeling of, man, I just really wish I had that one person in the entire world that could be the most meaningless thing, but that one person, it would mean everything to. And that was the thing that caused my achy loneliness for a long time, was that. That was the thing that I missed the most, was just having one other person in the world, and only one, that if y'all would have like a little inside joke, or if something happened, they would understand the significance of that thing. And a lot of the accomplishments I've had this year have been great. Fucking amazing, really.
Proud of you.
Thank you. But I know the old me would have been like, oh, but this doesn't mean anything because there's not that person there with me to understand the significance of it all. Now, I just don't give a fuck. I'm like, yeah, I'm just doing
me. I think, to me, something else that I do miss is having someone to talk to when you can't sleep, when something's like really on your mind, you know, or something's just weighing down on you and you just tossing and turning, and they're like, okay, what's up? What's going on? You know, and having someone to like talk it out with, whether it's just planning for the next day or your kid's field trip or what have you. And because a lot of the times it's so funny, like I get parental anxiety, which is just meeting other parents.
Interesting.
Because you don't want to look like the bad parent. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just so crazy how weird it is out there. But like, I remember meeting, you know, my next door neighbors, and they had a daughter the same age as my kid, and they went to the same school and they had the same class, etc. And you knew this kid was neglected. Like, she had signs of it. For example, like she would throw tantrums for no fucking reason, even at my house. And I was like, hey, we don't fucking do that here. So you need to either pick up your act or I can send you back home. You know, like I had to parent her. And she was stunned.
Yeah, she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, she would be like, oh, fuck, you know. And then I was like, all right. Or, you know, I would be like, okay, you can go home now. But there was this one time when we went on a field trip to the what's the tree place? The Arboretum? And the tree place.
The tree place.
The Arboretum. And this kid, like, her mom was a nurse, had just given birth, and you knew she was neglected because the whole time it was like she would get on her and this kid wouldn't listen. And this kid was pretty much like, fuck you, you know? And the mom, instead of like trying, she just gave up on her own kid, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess in my head, I was like, I never want to be viewed as that parent that you can tell that they've already given up, you know, on their child. Like, and that's like a fucked situation, but I've never, and my kid is actually like really fucking good, like my oldest. But for women, it's so much harder making friends than it is for men.
Yeah, I've seen how fucked up girls can be. That's crazy. That's just, I'm glad I'm not a girl. Like, I would, if I was me, as I am as a person, but as a girl, I would be so miserable.
I just, and it's not that I have trouble making friends with women. It's that I have trouble trusting them because they're so catty. And then they'll, yeah, like I told you earlier, indirect comments. I hate that shit, you know? I don't trust anyone to see me at like my normal self yet. Even though I am myself at all times. There's just, if I'm at work, I'm a bit more professional, right? But there are times when it's like, I don't want to have to pretend to be someone else just for you to like me. So why am I going to do that? You know, because later on you're going to figure out who I am, right? And so I don't know, like, making friends with females is so much harder than making friends with a guy, because dudes are fucking goofy, you know? And that's what I want. Like, I don't want to sit there and fucking talk drama and gossip and this and that. Hell no, I want you to crack some jokes. Let's play some pool and rock out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't need the rest of this bullshit. Like, I'm trying to have a good time. I'm not trying to be here and get emotional about shit that I have no control over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I've noticed that the majority of girls that hang out with other girls are exactly like that. And then all the other girls hang out with mostly guys because they don't want to have to deal with that shit.
That's who I am. And I've always been she's a guy's girl. You know, like, I've always given out that vibe because all of my cousins were boys. My brother is a man, obviously. He's my brother, you know, but I grew up around dudes. Like, my best friend is my cousin Judith, and that's the only female, you know what I mean? And then my other best friend, Josie, and we've been friends for 14 years, and that's fucking beautiful. Like, how many friendships have lasted that long? You know what I mean? And she's been there with me through the ins and the outs and the goods and the bads and the ups and the downs. I mean, all of it. Mm-hmm. And just like I've been there with her. Sometimes I also see it as like, well, I already have a girl best friend. Why do I need another one? Mm. You know?
It's funny because when you were talking about having someone to speak to in the nights when you can't sleep, I had a whole list of people, actually, that I would call.
I got no one.
But it was because I would call them when I was driving. So I would drive, my hours would be like 7 p.m. to like 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I might pick up somebody, make me realize something, and then I'll call Jacob like at 2:30 in the morning. Oh, Jacob, whatever. The rest of the people on the list were girlfriends. One that knows like my entire history of all my exes and stuff. So that way, I don't mean girlfriends, but just like
friends. Female friends. I understand.
Just one that knew all my history. So if I said, oh, this reminded me of this or that, or oh, I'm feeling this way, she could be like, she would understand.
Yeah.
And that's really how all my female friends were. It's like all the other people that I would call to talk to were female, but just because they would understand why I'm feeling however I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But at some point, that was another reason why I started my podcast in the first place, was it was getting to the point where, like, nobody was really answering because I'd be calling at ridiculous hours.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? Nobody knows me better than myself. So I just talked to myself. And so then I started doing that. And I started recording myself talking about whatever it was that just happened or whatever it is that I realized or whatever. And that would just get me through those little moments where you're, like, not panicking, but you're like, oh, I gotta say it. So I started just recording those moments. And now I just don't have them anymore.
I started writing down. So on my phone, I have a notepad app. Mm-hmm. And whenever I get an idea or something comes to my brain, I immediately like pull it out and I just start typing away. But that's how I started, like, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, nobody knows you better than you know yourself. And at the end of the day, like, who better to talk to better yourself than yourself, you know? But I started notating stuff because this is ideas I can bounce off later with my friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is stuff that I can talk to you about later with my friends or what have you. And it's just like literally just like on Tuesday, I'm recording a podcast with my friend Liz and Sarah. And these are the two only females that I've met that I've actually liked that aren't dramatic in the last 27 years of my life. I'm so serious.
That's crazy.
Like, even my cousin and I, like, you know, my best friend Judith, like, my cousin and I, we've had spats where we're at the club, I notice some shit, and I'm like, and I leave, you know? I'm like, because you fucked up. Mm-hmm. But her also, like, instead of acknowledging it that she fucked up, she turns it around and, like, blames it on me or some shit, you know? Or she'll be like, oh, I'm sorry that I whatever. And I'm like, no, dude, like, or I'll just be like, okay.
I don't really deal
with drama.
Yeah. Like, same. I just, and then if I do, I'm just like, okay. Like, I don't indulge it or anything. I'm just like.
It's so crazy how, like, two like-minded individuals, yourself and I, how something so tacky as a fucking dating app brought us together, you know, and honestly, and once again, I appreciate you so fucking much. Like, you've literally opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I know that I can count on you when I'm having a day or I'm having a moment, and you are on, you're spectacular. So I love you. Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate you too. Like, it, again, it was just more like realizing that, like, you've let me see how much progress I have made, because I was holding on to, like, because I just really hold on to, like, all my mistakes, because I look back at them and I'm just.
You gotta forgive those infractions.
Yeah, I'm getting better at that.
Good.
But that's what I'm saying. That's before, that's what I was doing. And then, like, you helped me to see, like, no, like, I have made strides in what I was trying to accomplish. And even you just saying that, like, I was just trying to help. And it wasn't like I was seeking anything or wanting anything. It was just, and then the fact that you're like, no, but now I know I can come to you. It's like, hey, like, that's what I've always wanted to be. And back then, I didn't know how I was supposed to be that.
Yeah.
And now I am that, and it feels really good.
That's good. It, I guess, in a way, how can I articulate this? I'm trying to articulate it. I'm sorry. But, you kind of come to a point in your life where all of the self-realization and the self-awareness needs to be affirmed. You know, it's an affirmation that you need, maybe not just within yourself, but via friends and family. And that's just because you psychologically, you want to know that you're doing good or that you're doing better than what you were, you mm-hmm. know? And honestly, this is all of this is going to help you in your next relationship, whether it's tomorrow or in a few months or in the next year or so, you know, the fact that you just never stop working on yourself, look for that in the person that you're going to choose next is someone with ambition and goals and never stops working on themselves and loves themselves, because loving yourself, if you can't love yourself, how do you expect someone else to love you, you know? Mm-hmm. Or if you love someone else with your all, but you don't love yourself, you become so codependent on making them happy that you become a cloud of misery, honestly. Like,
yeah.
Nagging and controlling and clingy and all of the things that are supposed to be cute, you know, become excessive.
Yep.
I
was definitely that at one point.
See? But you've worked on yourself enough to realize that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, once again, that's a beautiful thing. It's never going to stop. And if you find someone that realizes, I got to do better so we can be better together, that's where you're going to go to the top.
Yeah.
Both of you.
And when you put it that way, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, because I think I mentioned it once where, like, I've never actively chose someone to be with that I'm like, oh, this would be a good thing for me. It always just kind of happened. I just fell in love with them somehow or some way. And that's just really hasn't worked out all that well. And I've noticed that it's each time afterwards, like, it, like, slingshots me upwards in growth each time. But I've never been with somebody where we, like, instead of having a breakup to grow and be better, like, we're actually being better while we're together. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's...
And that's that confrontational part that I was telling you about. You know, if you're with someone and you're confronting them about how they make you feel or what they did to make you upset, or if you as a man can differentiate or a woman can differentiate between her emotions and let you know, when you do this, it makes me feel like this. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, don't even get me started on that.
But if you can grow from that together and you stop doing those things, then you guys, honestly, the world is your oyster.
Yeah. That's what I was doing, though. And that's where I was like, okay, well, that's actually why I broke up with Priscilla, really, was because I was doing that actively. Mm-hmm. As soon as we were together, I would always bring up, like, not emotionally, not like yelling or anything. I would be like in a conversational way like this, like, hey, so the other day this happened and this is what it looked like, or this is what it made me feel, and maybe you didn't want it to be that way.
Bad intentions, yeah.
But that's what happened, and so, you know, maybe going forward we could do this or that. So, like, I would approach it that way, very much like...
And she would turn it into a fight?
She would just ignore me. Like, she would not want, like, I'd be like, hey, so can we talk about whatever? Just ignore me for, like, a day or two. Just not.
I think... That's a really bad manipulation tactic as well.
Yeah, well, she would just run away a lot. Like, I would have to, like, really try to get her to talk about whatever, if we were upset or if I was upset. Which, to be fair, I was hurting myself most of the time. It was a lot of the high expectations of me or something that she never was. But still, like, to... talk about it, at least, really difficult.
That's really childish.
Well, yeah. But so there was a lot of that. But at least now I know, okay, well, I'm capable of being able to just separate it, like you said, and be able to talk about it. But then also, again, that's why, like, I broke up with her, was because I realized that I wasn't the best version of myself to help her become better, and it wasn't going to be better no matter what I did, because neither of us were at that point. And that's where, like, it sucks, because I understood what the situation was, and I understood what I had done leading up to it, like I said, about, because I was really serious about, I was very certain, actually, that she was the love of my life, that I was going to marry this girl, our lives were going to be, like, forever. And once I realized, though, that it was never going to be better, it was still, to this day, the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. I was madly in love with her, and I was like, but I gotta break up with her. And that's why I want, because of course, if she was already, like, running away and not wanting to talk about our fights, of course she would not want to talk to me after I broke up with her at all. But I would want her to understand that very fact, was that it wasn't that I didn't love her or that I didn't mean anything that I had said previously. It was just, I knew that I couldn't help her be better, and she wasn't going to learn or to grow unless I wasn't there.
You also have to realize that a person has to want to learn, and a person has to, yeah. It's almost like addiction.
Yep.
A person has to want to go to rehab because they want to get better. If you just send someone to rehab, they're A, they're going to break out. B, they're going to find a way to get drugs in. see when they get out, they're going to go back to their old habits. You know what I mean? And it's, once again, it's that vicious cycle I'm telling you about. Mm-hmm. But you have to want to learn, and you have to want to be better, and you have to want to grow as a person, as an individual, as a mother, as a parent, as a husband, as a brother, as a, you know, wife, husband, what have you. You have to want to be better at the things that you're doing to become better.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, once again, it's the insanity thing that I was telling you about before.
And that's where, like, because through the months, I was like, all right, well, I see these are, here she's like, she's running away from stuff. She's doing all this. So, like, I try to get her to be more open about her feelings and things like that. And it was working to a point until we had a fight. Actually, another thing about it, which is,
I'm ready for it.
That's fucking amazing.
Give it to me.
We had a huge fight on Halloween, and then I broke up with her like on the 7th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fucking forgot.
Wow.
Like, it passed, what, last week? I didn't even remember. That's fucking amazing. That's great.
Come full circle, you guys. Yeah. We just came full circle. So we're essentially celebrating
3 years.
Kidding. Yeah, 3 years of being single.
No, but we had this huge fight Halloween over something really stupid. And it was partially my fault. So I said, okay, well, that night, like, I was like, look, like, while she was upset, while we were still right there together, I said, look, I know you're upset, so let me make it up to you. I'll take you to your favorite spot. We'll go get lunch and, you know, all this stuff. Because I realized that I was wrong. Like, it's exactly what I said. Didn't want to talk to me. Was, like, standing away from me, walking away from me. Didn't say anything. And then, so, when I dropped her back home, I said something like, oh, you ruin everything or something like that. And then she ignored me for 5 days. And in those 5 days, I was like, hey, like, let me come over so we can talk about it, whatever. Nothing. Hey, I'm going to bring you food and your favorite little drink so we can talk about it. No, I'm busy. Hey, let's do something. I'm watching the World Series with my dad. Well, I'll go watch it too. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Which, that's also shit. That's awesome. Because she said that, right? I took my family and my friends to the World Series last week. 2 weeks ago. Fuck, I'm amazing. Oh, man. It's really cool.
So, I have to interject something really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to really think about it, and your listeners and my listeners. At the beginning of a relationship, a woman will treat a man the way that she feels she deserves to be treated. At the end of a relationship, a woman will treat a man the way he treated her.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely where, something you have to think about.
Yeah. Because, well, and so that's where going when I had my reflections later on, I realized that the way I was loving her was not the way that she wanted. She was way more physical. She was way more all of that, and I would give it to her, but that my way was more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think I told you, or I maybe mentioned it once. Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, because I even brought up my friend's tweet.
There was that time where we were in her room, and, like, I was, like, just pouring out my soul, telling her about how I'm not really happy right now because of this and that. And all the while, you know, she's playing with herself. And then she's
like masturbating?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. Like, I was literally just like laying on her bed, looking up at the ceiling. And I was, she was like right here. And I was like, yeah, you know, this. And I really didn't like that this happened. And I've been feeling this way and whatever. And then I'm like, you know, so I hope, blah, blah, blah. It's going on for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I'm like, so yeah, you know, I hope that that clears up some stuff or whatever. And I look over and she had like the cover like this. And then she's like, yeah, okay, okay. And then she like didn't have any pants on. She was like, okay, come here. And I was like, are you serious?
Like, maybe that was like the only way she really knew how to show
exactly,
love.
Exactly. And that's
where so I'm that's saying, her like, own personal shit that she's going through.
That's where out when you mention like, oh, well, she's treating you the way that you're treating her. Well, in her mind, I guess, yes. Because that was her way, and I wasn't doing it all the time. So I guess that's, yeah. But the way I saw it was I was trying to do the right things and the right ways and stuff. Just didn't really. And that's where I say, like, that's why I knew I had to.
Honestly, she sounds like she ended up a stripper. Sorry. Sorry. Like, no offense to strippers. I love all of you fucking fabulous females, but you know, women, men, whatever. Right. But if you're in the sex industry, cool, I don't care.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, like,
no,
honestly, like, if someone's pouring themselves out emotionally to you, and the only thing that you can do is, oh, well, let me give you a blowjob to fix it. It's like, a blowjob may feel good at the time, but it still doesn't fix him emotionally and mentally, you know?
Yeah. But, so again, like, that's just where, like, I was like, oh, okay, like, I see that no matter what I do, no matter how much effort I put, I can't fix this. I can't. And so that's why, again, she views me as a horrible person, but I knew that if it continued, it would just be really bad for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. It really sucks because she was a great person, and you know, notwithstanding all the flaws we both had relationship wise, she was pretty cool. And the fact that she will now hate me forever for something that I'm pretty sure it was the right thing to do. Yeah, it sucks.
Well, I mean, you can't go into your late 20s and stay a child. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot. And I'm not defending her and I'm not defending you, but what I'm saying is that if you're honestly in your late 20s, that was her mid-20s, she's 25 at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your bills are getting paid. You really don't have to work. Was she going to school at least?
No, she was working. Okay.
But still, her bills were getting paid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
By you or her parents or whoever.
She was paying her own stuff. But she was living at home with her mom.
So yeah. Still, she had no rent, had no electricity, no utilities, no... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
Probably the only thing she had to worry about is a car note and her phone bill. If that, okay. So if you're getting all of these things paid for you and you really don't have, I mean, you know, you're always going to have that I'm a princess tendency. And maybe this is maybe a drunk realization. Maybe you need to stop going for the princess types. Maybe you need to start going for someone that came from the fucking gutter and fucking grew and fucking jumped the ladder and they fucking kept going and they didn't give the fuck up. And that's and once again, this comes to full circle because we just talked about it, but you need to find someone with goals and ambitions and someone that's aspiring to be something other than whoever it was that told them that they couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, the difficult thing about that is I really want to be the hero.
Oh,
like I
you really gross me out when you say shit like that. I love you so much, but stop it.
It's just
let me tell you something. Because it's so funny. When I lost my job, I was, you know, I had a friend and he said, do you need help? And I said, no, I got me. And he said, you saying that makes me want to help you more. And I'm like, I don't, I'm like, I'm not going to take money from you. I'm not taking anything from you, you know? I said, I'm working my ass off. I got what I need to get. I got my kids. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And the whole time he was like so fucking frustrated because he was like, but I want to help you. And I said, I'm not a damsel in distress. Thank you so much for wanting to help me. But in me, my damsel in distress paradox or what's it called? It's a... Oh, God damn it. I just wrote it down earlier. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
My damsel in distress complex is not... Oh my God, someone save me. I'm fucking drowning financially. Oh my God. No, my fucking damsel in distress complex is I am mentally, physically, emotionally dying. Please help me get out of this. Make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Make me want to feel alive again. That, and maybe you're just looking for the wrong damsel in distress.
Yeah.
That could be your complex because you could potentially help save a life. Date the fucking depressed mousy girl for once in your life. Okay? That's what you need to do. Date the depressed mousy girl.
I tried to once in community college. And she had been sent to psychiatric ward like twice.
She was sent to what twice?
The psychiatric.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then didn't talk to her for a few years. And then her best friend apparently meet her randomly on, I forget what dating app. We go to Red River and she's like, yeah, we make out first.
Okay.
And then she's like, hey, I don't want this to be weird, but you made out with my best friend like 6 years ago. And I was like, huh? And I was like, so I was like freaking the fuck out. I was like, who the fuck? And then it turned out to be a crazy girl. And I was like, no. So I like stopped it right there. Like, yeah, no. So that's how that turned out.
Yeah, I also don't keep it in the family. Like, if I find out someone fucked one of my friends, I literally put a whole ass wall. You are getting nothing from me but dad jokes.
Yep.
That's what's what brown and sticky? A stick.
Ha.
Yeah.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
It's not R.
It's not X.
Because.
Marks the spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've heard that one before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, you guys. This was Ruby May from A Slut with Morals joining Anthony Martin on Life Ramblings.
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And this is Pass Me signing off.